What do you want?
Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, May 4th. 2021, Ben the Breaker of Banksters, my co-host Future Dan. How you doing there, sir?
Yeah, good. We're about halfway through the spring season of Patriot Power Hour 2021.
Flying along. Can't believe it's already May of 2021. It really is. We've got tons of news, as always, on our News Blitz coming up in the second segment. A few interesting topics in the second half of the show. But first off, want to just give a big shout-out, not only to the listeners of PBN, but our fellow shows and our fellow hosts. And, of course, NBC guy, great stuff. But I went back into the archive, listened to Next Generation show. I'm about a third of the way through their, what was the title of it? Essentially, how to get a green thumb or kind of survival, yep. Suburban prepping.
Agriculture.
Agriculture and gardening. Yes, exactly. And I listen, of course, to the awesome ongoing escapades of the warden and Dave with his goats and mending the fence. And I follow along with that. But we also, you know, we got new shows coming up as well. These days we got Carl B. And ongoing on Sunday, of course, too. Good stuff. So, guys, whether you listen to all those shows, which I hope you do, or I know a lot of listeners just of our show, Patriot Power Hour, go out and explore different hosts. That's my challenge for you for May. Check out a couple new shows on PBN.
Awesome, yeah. Grateful to be here, too.
Absolutely, man. We've been churning out a lot of content, helping bring different perspective to the network. I think we do focus a lot on news, but we've been getting into other more prepping topics as well, I think.
Usually come down to urban and suburban prepping, you know, macro level issues, not the how-to. We said that at the beginning. We're not a how-to show. We're a news show, current events show, future scenario show. But when it comes to our discussions of preparedness, essentially focused on, you know, the locations that we've lived in our most of our lives, right? I grew up in a rural environment, but have not lived that way since. And, you know, we exist now. We talked about your stealth bug out electric bike for 3 weeks now. And, you know, you keep advancing and testing that. So we're on a scale of Prepper Broadcasting Network leaning towards people who are in that situation, focused on that problem set. Right.
And really, what I've been doing this week, yeah, I've been messing around with the bike a little bit, but I've been putting a lot of seeds in the ground, and I already had some, not as big of an operation maybe as James Walton, at least what it sounds like. He had a lot of plants indoors kind of prepared, ready to rock, that he transplanted. Also had a nice episode. He talked about that a couple weeks ago. I've been doing that. I built a new raised garden bed and a couple other kind of like reorganized my medical drawer.
Have you?
Kind of like a spring cleaning, got rid of medications and stuff that were expired. Or
did you use your Christmas gift I gave you?
Which was that? The tourniquet?
No, the book.
Oh, the book. I have it right there. Absolutely. Actually, I used it as to write down like things I needed.
Chances are, I don't know the rotation of our breaks tonight. Of course, Patriot Power Hour. We do four quarters, take a short break, throw a little music in there, and as from our sponsors, but the Medical Prepper's Handbook was, I gave it to you for Christmas, and it's got lists of kits and stuff. So you're really in the beginning phase of, you know, inventorying what you got, and that book's an awesome resource to know, okay, here's what you got to get next.
And so I added a couple of items from that book to my
stash. Oh, you did? So you started that. Okay, yeah. Awesome.
But I already had a bunch of the items already, which is good to know, but maybe I got them 2, 3, 4 years ago and really needed to bandages or sterile items. You don't have to refresh, but
right.
Anti-diarrheal medicine.
Sure.
Expires, or you could use it in a pinch, I'm sure, but you want to have fresh stuff if possible.
Probably just won't be effective, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Not as effective. So anyway. But that book actually is best, in my opinion, for the how-to.
Yeah.
How to treat shock, how to treat snake bite, how to treat bad rash, allergic reaction.
Like if the power's down and someone near you is hurt,
fracture.
What are you going to do, stand there and not know? Go grab this book. At least while they're, you know, there's a chance of helping them not die, you can read the page and a half about how to do this and, you know, large chance that you'll start applying measures in desperation. They're exactly what you need to do to save a life.
Definitely. There's a lot of small steps in some of these things that seem like basic first aid or maybe intermediate level treatment. But there's a couple steps where if you do the wrong, if you do a 1 instead of a 2 on the decision tree of what to do at a certain time, you could really screw things up.
But that book really breaks it down, and it is from after there is no medical support perspective. You completely on your own emergency amateur medical care, right? And I am not advocating. I know if you're a nurse or a military trained medic, you know, I was combat lifesaver. I got an idea of baseline of a lot of this immediate life saving. But that, you know, just knowing about it is not a substitute for practicing it daily. So to take it to the next level, you have to practice it daily or still you're not prepared.
Yeah, or other people that, you know, maybe you, if you got that kind of training, you're probably pretty set. But maybe your family or friends, you can gift it to, like how you gifted it to me. So, excuse me. This is another example how I've been using kind of the spring. I don't know, I get a little bit more motivated or it's, not only for the gardening aspect, but spring cleaning and just continuing prepping because, man, stuff's coming down the line.
Hey, can I also give a shout-out to Dane D? I was listening to his show last week, and forgive me, I didn't catch the name of his guest, but the guest who's
Dusty Scout, or is that
not week last before? Week, I don't think. Okay. But I picked these up through the Future Danger 6 Twitter feed. Because PBN still pushes shows out there, and I'm retweeting them to what effect that I don't know anymore on Twitter, but I digress. Anyways, they had a good show, and Dane was they were discussing the how to apply tourniquets, and his guest, you know, and he talked about, you know, belts versus maybe better T-shirts and. The other fellow is actually, you know, he teaches courses and sells them. So, check out that episode last week of Gunmetal Armory because, they also, played a game that I hadn't even heard about, a card game that, is scenario based and asks, not just tactical, but also, ethical questions and, I should prepare better because I don't have the name of that show. But we'll look that's it up. Right. We'll look up at the break and talk about it next half. But I might want to pick up a deck so we could play. With odes to Dane D. I heard you guys playing that and thought that could be fun. We might want to try it on Patriot Power Hour. Give a take too.
Dude, that would be actually really fun. It'd be perfect to do like an hour and a half scenario. Just kind of talk it through.
But we're going to talk through a scenario later this show too.
Yeah,
we're gonna hit just another thought experiment on what would happen if mobile networks went down in certain ways too, not just on off, but what if apps were controlled suddenly in certain ways and how that ties back into potentially foreign information operations.
I think this is a huge vulnerability and a huge, it will be a huge wake-up call when it happens. We've never seen a mass cyber outage, let alone a mass power outage in modern history that's gone for, you know, a week straight. I was born in the mid-80s. I've never gone more than a few days without power. In the last 20 years, I've not gone more than a few days without internet. And what would happen if there's a week or a whole month without internet with everything e-commerce, et cetera? So mobile phones as well is a huge, huge part. Almost, there's a lot of people that only have mobile phones for internet or for telephone. So pretty crazy.
I'm going to throw out a couple cities, a couple durations, a couple ways that devices could be maybe not, you know, just blanked out and not working, but manipulated, like access to sites. And how
you lose your email accounts maybe, or
just none of your logins work for anything on your device today.
Yeah,
you're for a while
cut out for some reason. Maybe not everybody.
You got four bars, but you're not allowed to use right now.
Okay. Oh, you're okay. So it's not
who knows
necessarily why. A natural disaster or something. It could be.
But your generation, you just said it. The amount of usage of these devices. I'm a little bit older, so I remember like not having phone for 30 days when I went to Louisiana to sneak around Fort Polk, right? Yeah. You know, we'll see.
Well, we will see, and we're coming back with the News Blitz. I have a real, real interesting take on that mobile network thing. We are running out of time for this segment here, though.
What do you actually think the news is going right now? Even before we go through the blitz, what's the gestalt for the Bankster Breaker tonight?
Well, I feel like things are really starting to shake all around and become more apparent. And whether that's financial, whether that's with the pandemic and COVID gain of function research and ties to Fauci or not Fauci, Dr. Fauci. I don't know. We'll find out, though. We got a lot more to talk about. We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the National Disaster Relief Effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Here's your heat map blitz on May 4th, 2021. News censorship continues. Washington Post, New York Times, and NBC News cite lying government source to allege wrongdoing by Rudy Giuliani. Meanwhile, experts say herd immunity is now unlikely. Public school students openly propagandized American Teachers Training Organization partnered with Chinese Communist Group promoting socialist nursery rhymes. World government growing. FBI firearms background checks given to Interpol. Column 2. Black ops around us. Senate intelligence leaders say mysterious sonic weapon attacks on U.S. officials are increasing to include near the White House. Supposedly, Chinese diaspora donors gave the Proud Boys $86,000 ahead of Capitol riot. News out today. Meanwhile, Secretary of State says the president is not trying to contain China. Foreign invasion. Texas government governor cites 2,000 people every day being smuggled through Texas. Illegal immigrant wave. Meanwhile, in the Capitol, the Department of Justice budget to include $85 million increase to fight domestic terrorism. And there is a report some of that money will be used by the DHS to hire contractors to spy on domestic terrorists online, a.k.a. Capitol rioters and affiliated groups. Overseas, Chinese President and Communist Party General Secretary Xi adopts the Mao Zedong title of helmsman, claiming ultimate authority. So, the most openly dictatorial Chinese leader since Mao has nominated himself as such today. Australia Special Forces Commander secretly warned his troops last year, Ben, of the high likelihood of gray zone war with China. Gray zone war, multiple fifth, sixth generation information, biological, chemical, technological, gray zone. That's what the Australian Special Forces Commander, former, reportedly told his troops last year. Meanwhile, Russian warplanes buzzing Alaska at highest rates since Soviet collapse. Column 3. Economics. American trade deficit hits record $74.4 billion in March. Skyrocketing lumber prices have increased the average price of a new home by almost $36,000 in 1 year, Ben. Okay. Firearm sales continue to soar, setting records for 16 straight months as panic buying in that class of good continues. Unemployment front, the numbers are lower, 553K in the past week, initial jobless claims. However, employers are accelerating the use of robotics and automation. America is running low on chicken, according to one report. Sounds kind of funny until we run out, I guess. Call for natural and scientific. COVID alters human genes, more evidence emerges. New triple mutant COVID strain is hitting China. Billion GMO mosquitoes. 1 billion GMO mosquitoes have started to be released in Florida. Anti-disease Gates Foundation type stuff. The National Institute of Health has been sued for documents related to the controversial gain-of-function research of COVID-19 and other pathogens. File that one under labs losing controls of pathogens, if you're generous. If you're generous to the helmsman. Yellowstone volcano hit by 43 earthquakes. 44% of older millennials already have a chronic health condition. Space Force chief scientist says human augmentation is now necessary. Big earthquake off of Honshu. President will not rule out ordering the military to get vaccinated. Brain-like device mimics human learning in major computing breakthrough. That's your future danger heat map. Blitzkrieg for this May 4th, 2021. What's that picture look like to you, Bankster Breaker?
A lot of dystopic scenarios, but we're not just trying to be dystopic or fearmonger here. We're trying to, number one, analyze, but also prep. And I think one of the biggest threats out there is war with China. And seeing what we're seeing here, and the title of helmsman is just another step, I think, in that confrontation. Because we know exactly where Communist Party General Secretary, now helmsman, we know what he thinks about Taiwan, as well as the South Seas, and really, in the long run, Japan, Korea, and the Philippines. He sees it as his kingdom, right? You know, for all intents and purposes. And he's kind of going down that route that a lot of these leaders do over history, where they get a little more crazy and dictatorial, gather more power, but they also get a little more unstable almost, and claiming to be the helmsman and the ultimate authority after he's already, I mean, he's already the, I believe, president for life and general secretary, but this is like that next level kind of scary shit right here.
Back to Mao. Back to the guy who killed millions.
Yeah, but this time they got way more money, same way more title. Military power, and nukes.
Same title, though, as the guy who did that stuff.
With nukes now, though.
More nukes, yeah.
And a lot better technology and a major trade surplus with the U.S.
I'm pretty sure China acquired the nuclear weapons in the early 60s and then proceeded with the Cultural Revolution right afterwards that killed millions. So they pretty much couldn't be invaded and stopped after they acquired those weapons, which is what every regime seeking them has understood.
Well, now they got nukes on submarines rather than just maybe a few they put on big bombers, or they could, you know, using their own territory on invading armies. Now they can project that force a lot better, I would suppose.
They got the triad.
Yeah.
They got the air, the silo, and the sub. They can deliver all three ways.
And really, the economic war is just, I mean, we're talking nuke, and we're talking EMP, of course, at the high level, but just that economic warfare will hurt them, but it'll hurt us really bad, too. And we are already on the ropes, really. And
information warfare is not to be discounted.
That's cyber warfare, information
just
warfare.
All the influence ops. And for the Secretary of State to say that the president is now not trying to contain China is pretty nakedly in Beijing's interest, right? Like, it's not even hidden from us that this is, you know, easily could be said to be a Chinese-controlled White House.
No, I don't think that's a stretch by any means. And if they call the previous administration a Russian administration, this has way more evidence to be a Chinese administration.
You want to hear what the First Amendment sounds like?
Patriot Power Hour?
Chinese-controlled White House. Chinese-controlled White House right now. That's what it is. Making the call.
We still got it. Thank God. I mean, it is proof to some degree that America still, you do have the ability to.
Like, not completely controlled.
And have.
But definitely controlled.
Well, they're heavily censoring it and trying their best to negate your ability to speak and shadow ban you as well. So.
Still, it's Chinese controlled White House. I'll say it again.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's hard to put it. You know, the question is it a Chinese controlled Pentagon? That's my question. I hope not.
I hope not, too. You know, I don't think so, but. Chinese-controlled CIA, up in the air. Chinese-controlled FBI, I don't know. Seems like, pretty obvious.
I think that's where I'm the most.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Chinese-controlled DOJ.
Not good. Not good. So anyway, we're seeing their, you know, dictator-in-chief getting bigger and bigger and bigger head here. Luckily, we haven't had any skirmishes or anything crazy break out in the Ukraine and whatnot, but I know the Arctic is heating up. Literally and figuratively with Russian warplanes in Alaska and a lot of other bases and stuff as well.
The whole Russian angle to this is that, you know, you accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of. They did it for 4 years with Trump, and now it's actually happening with the other power in Asia. But to say so sounds like you're just making a counter accusation to the Russia-controlled White House of the last administration, right? And those probes continue, right? So this Giuliani issue, you know, they're searching Rudy Giuliani. They're coming after everybody they can to say they're, you know, controlled and manipulated by the Russians. You know, in the Trump circle, they are clearly under persecution right now by DOJ. The DOJ we had at the end of Obama that set Trump up the way it did is now rejuvenated and back in full force.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pissed, too.
Dangerous.
Maybe they're body not in our position government. To do it, but I'd wonder why Trump and his allies wouldn't be pushing back on the Chinese angle. Maybe they're...
Well, they got to lay low. They don't have, exactly. Any, they have none of the organs of power.
Trying to survive.
yeah.
Okay, so we got all that. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about. We're coming up near the end. We are going to have a couple scenarios, but maybe a couple news articles on the other side as well. But overall, just COVID-19 alters human genes. That's like so profound and important, but something I've essentially taken for granted for more than a year because on this show we've covered all the studies back in like January and February of 2020 where it altered the genes.
Yeah, well, it continues to come out. And how could it not leave antibodies 6 to 9 months after you have it unless it was doing phenomenally different things with the body, right? That's not how measles works. That's not how polio works. But this respiratory disease, it sure does mutate fast and leaves you. And one would think that it might weaken over time because it's a living organism that's trying to survive, right? Can't kill all its hosts. But sure is a political weapon that we're going to be dealing with for, you know, right now in 2021, it feels like decades.
And speaking of India, or speaking of China, we also have these mutant viruses in India and massive death tolls starting to pile up, let alone poverty. India and China already had some skirmishes.
I shot you a text about what the kind of rhetoric China uses on its neighbors right now, which is shameful. Tell them what I sent you. It was shocking.
Well, essentially it's saying this is how we fire up, and it showed a Chinese rocket, right? They're spacefaring now. Then there's a funeral pyre of India. They fire up.
Side by side.
Yeah.
Government account.
Meme or whatever. Government account. That's
Chinese the government words. Account.
So they're trying to instigate. Not good. Not good. Anyway, guys, we got to go. But we'll be right back.
Chinese controlled White House.
Power Hour. China controlled White House.
I want to tell you about the most affordable and effective preparedness purchase that you can make in 2021. Fire Edge is a fully customizable vehicular preparedness system. It can hold magazines, firearms, IFACs, tourniquets, pepper spray, flashlights, anything you need at arm's length. It fits snug in the door pocket of any vehicle. Oh, and how about all that for $20? Visit FireEdge.org today and use the promo code 2021, and you will get yours for $20.21, the ultimate in vehicular preparedness. Visit FireEdge.org and use promo code 2021.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
I see the pale moon horizon. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see
Patriot Power Hour, second half of this May 4th, 2021 episode, first episode of May, deep into the spring season, back at you. Want a big shout out here to Conflicted the Game, Conflicted the Survival Card Game. I think we're going to have to get a deck and play. It sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm going to try a few of those.
Have to try a couple of those.
Available at all your fine out retailers to include conflictedthegame.com. Probably get on Amazon too.
All right. Well, just like Dave, the NBC guy, said that we should actually get my bike, Rad Bike, to be a sponsor. I think we should get Conflicted the Game to be a sponsor. But I'm actually down to throw down. We'll split the cost of a deck and do a show or something.
Just the concept of, hey, here's a card. Let's talk out a scenario. We do that anyways on Patriot Power Hour.
Like, actually, like, giving us free content.
Then I came across, yeah. We'll give you a take on it. We might have different takes than other hosts, just different perspectives.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's the fun. And it also, you know, you can learn stuff from us. You can learn how not to do things from us, maybe, in your opinion.
Yeah.
That's just as valuable.
Yeah, it's worth discussing, though. Worth thinking about ahead of time, right?
Yep. I just want to hit on a couple more of these articles real quick before we get into some scenarios, our own scenarios, that are not related to Conflicted the Game yet. Actually, all of these I could talk about a lot about. Let me know if you want to hit on any of them in deeper detail.
Yeah.
But I think they're just pretty amazing. And a lot of them are sad. 44% of older millennials, who's myself, have a chronic health condition. There? Knock on wood, I do not have a chronic health condition, so I'm better than my cohorts. But man, that is, first off, bad for everyone's quality of life. Number two, bad for our workforce and productivity and ability to compete worldwide and fight wars. I guess we're not fighting wars per se, but you still, we got to, you know, the older folks would have to stay home and work, while the younger would go out working. Well, half the people on disability these days that are over the age of 35. Not literally, but I mean, it's not looking good.
Well,
not to mention all the medical stress and costs that are coming with it.
Part of that ties into the Cloward Piven strategy advancing, right? Just talking people into, you know, this idea of socialism where you're owed because there's some malady or injury you have that makes you...
Medicaid or universal health care, stimulus payments because you can't work, all that, definitely, uh-huh.
Yeah, well, you're owed by somebody because you're incapacitated in some way. And what, of course, would that encourage? Well, certainly more of that.
For sure. A couple others real quick. I mean, it's ongoing, and it doesn't... You just say these numbers, and they don't mean anything anymore at some point, it seems like, but they do mean something. That's the thing. You got to remember, it does mean something. When you keep piling sand on top of a cart, you know, eventually it's going to break. Eventually, you're going to kill the horse if you keep adding weight to its back, you know, whatever analogy you want.
Does it really
American
weigh anything
trade
anymore?
Trade deficit is at $74 billion in just 1 month. That's not sustainable.
Does it really weigh anything anymore? Or does nobody just care? Like, we just, this concept of debt and finance, or is finance just the concept of it so corrupted? I guess when enough elites all say, "Well, now the fundamentals matter," that's your reset.
So this actually, I saw it,
and they can decide that at any time because everything is so grotesquely out of whack right now. If that could be announced, that now is the financial crisis, when it's not really that at all. Right. It's not naturally occurring. They just all go, or probably the reality is some of the macro fundamentals are kind of impinging on their plan. So now the avalanche starts coming down the mountain, but they struck the cannon to send it down, and we're getting buried at the bottom of it. Sure thing.
They have the system on life support, and they can pull the plug at any time.
Pop that cannon
with their own, for their own reasons, however they want.
Mountain of snow being financial.
Yeah, all that
debt,
potential energy is there. Boom. They just got to blow the dam and it's game over, and they can blame whatever, whoever they want, whenever they want. Here's the issue. Here's where the bluff may be called. And this brings it all together on the economic side that we've been talking about. China, new digital currency that they create. That's backed by gold and by their balance sheet, where we're adding value to their balance sheet. We give tons of money to China, and they're gathering it, waiting, and they're buying gold, and they're buying Bitcoin, and they're buying real assets. They bought a lot of the West Coast and Canada via their surrogates, their agents. Their, you know, they have anyone who makes, you know, $1 million or more in China absolutely works for the state as a spy. For all intents and purposes, when they're buying real estate on the West Coast, if they're citizens of China, which a lot of them are. Sorry to say, folks.
But our government could seize all those assets. It's been done before.
Yes. But I'm just saying, if they say one day, America, your dollar's a piece of trash. We know it's a piece of trash. We've been patiently waiting 20 years stacking gold and Bitcoin and whatever. And now we're going to have our own currency. And you cannot purchase anything from us unless you use our currency, and that devalues the dollar by 50%.
And the reason they'll do it now is because we could say, pow, you don't own anything here. All those stocks you thought you owned are now confiscated. All that real estate you thought you owned, confiscated. Now all the businesses are now confiscated and sold off. Like, all your assets.
Oh, yeah, it'd be war. We would mess them up bad.
Right.
But our entire supply chain is based there, so everything, we would all shut down, too.
Unless you had a very Chinese-controlled White House in the future.
Well,
Then what? Then they could...
Certain industries, certain pals...
Tank our economy. They could subordinate our economy, subordinate our currency, subordinate our economic deal on the world stage.
That's where it comes to. They're trying to do this slowly but surely so no one panics.
And impoverish millions and millions of Americans.
Slowly but surely over decades. Yeah. Exactly. But at some point it might come to a head, or China feels it's time to flex, and they roll that out. And that's where this, you know, another $74 billion trade deficit, not all with China, but a lot of it with it, that's where that will come home to roost, so, if and when that takes place.
So when we're giving them
ammo, essentially.
If this scenario were to play out along these lines, where does that leave us, right? We'd have a government that would say that's the new normal, suck it up and live with it. It would be a two-party system where both sides of the aisle accept that fate. And a large portion of, you know, apathetic American population that is too, well, apathetic to do anything about it. And a core group of patriots that, you know, are now pitted against their government.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a great strategy to take down the dragon with the helmsman looking to conquer Asia.
It's to not be taken down by him, I'm talking about.
Right. Well, but I mean being so disjointed where the government is working against us, the people are fighting amongst themselves, and half the people are, you know, so brain dead they don't even care, or they got they're pretty much invalids because they have you know, all these chronic health conditions when they're 30 years old.
As the next lab leaked mutant strain of respiratory disease.
Or just the freaking vaccines start to go a little haywire in a year or two. Who knows?
I don't know. There's a lot of reasons to just keep an eye on all of this.
Right.
Could all be science fiction, right?
No.
None of it might actually happen. But can you sit here and say that it can't happen right now? Just can't happen? Here's why that can't happen. Can you say that?
No, and like 10 years ago, people could say it couldn't happen. I think by now, almost the most hardcore skeptic after COVID and a lot of other stuff we've seen, let alone Snowden and all the leaks on the surveillance side, the economic fraud. Everyone knows the banksters and the bailouts, even the kids these days. But they still play with Robin Hood. They still speculate. And you know, everyone knows the game's fake, but they're still speculating. They still got their 401ks. They're still, you know, riding along. But I think people can get a big awakening if they're not prepping financially and otherwise.
Now, there is an article out in the Atlantic this week pointing the finger at the most, quote-unquote, they use the word liberal. It's the last thing they're acting like. But the most leftist communities in the country, and how some of the petty medical tyranny, the mask theater, you know, all of that is going too far. Now, if the Atlantic is pointing out, maybe the powers that be have decided to reel back in teachers that they scared to death who go to protest dressed like as emergency room technicians with signs saying, this is how I'll have to go back to teach, right? So, you know, maybe dystopia is further away than, you know, we're envisioning right now, but we're just, you know, kind of thinking out loud about directions things could go. Just as a note, almost all the news, all the indicators that we're looking at on the heat map tonight, they're topical, low grade, not crisis news. The news censorship runs hot all the time because instances of it are just straight up censorship, propaganda. So we call it out. But the rest of it, mid to low grade tonight.
No, for sure. But they're all very important. And like you said, maybe not all these will materialize. I certainly hope not. But a lot of these issues have been around. They're starting to persist and get worse and become more ingrained and systematic, whether it's the economic aspects or the COVID, et cetera, et cetera. It's like touches everything in society and the economy. And I know we talk a lot about the economy here, but that should, in my opinion, besides just power outage, nuclear war, EMP, I think number two you should prep for is an economic shutdown. It's like, you know, maybe not everyone's dying or zombie apocalypse, but Great Depression or worse for 5+ years. That's, I think, a very reasonable thing you should prepare for and extremely likely. Like, that's like 98% likely in the next decade, I swear. Whereas a zombie apocalypse is only like 20-30% possible.
Zombie.
Be a little facetious. Yeah. But honestly, like an economic collapse, depression, whatever. Just imagine you don't have a source of income for 5 years. Obviously, save as much as you can and be frugal and have gardening or ways to supplement income, maybe be a handyman and network with people like James always says, but there's a lot more to it.
So, you know, we usually announce the Blitzkrieg and talk about the columns, right? Liberty, security, economics, and, you know, the natural and scientific, you know, threats out there. Would you agree that if any of the other columns hit a crisis, you're going to see the economic column because it's so intricately tied? It's the economy.
Yeah.
It has to come next. But conversely, it's pretty hard, at least now, it's pretty hard for the third column start going black on red, all crisis, without something in the other columns, you know, already being that way. That, like, March of 2020 is the first time we got like 6, 7, 8 black, like, happening now disaster indicators, and economically they were all happening, right?
That was the first time we've seen that in,
I think, the whole column years, trails
actually. And I think the way you put it is correct. If there is a super volcano, well, okay, maybe that's not a great example, but if there is war or another virus comes out or new mutations, et cetera, et cetera, then the economic will take a huge hit. Almost anything that could go wrong will subsequently hurt the economy. So
for war or insurrection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not so much for the tyranny column. I don't know how much tyranny this country can endure.
Yeah, that's just always persistent. All right, guys.
Too much.
And gals, we will be right back with the last segment. Stick with us.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are back, Patriot Power Hour. First episode of May 2021. We're going to run through some scenarios for summer. You know, summers are violent. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. American summers can become violent. And the amount of people that are, in my words, you know, mobile device zombies, just live off of those things. Just truth be told, I'm holding one right now with a list of major American cities because I use the tools at my disposal. But there are people that, you know, are clearly addicted to their mobile devices, large amounts, right? They suffer withdrawal without them. It's clear, right? So we're going to name a city. We're going to name a way you can get shut out from using your mobile device for whatever reason. Let's not focus on the reasons. It could be foreign actors. It could be internal actors. It could be banks. It could be corporations. It could be nefarious webs of all of the above. But if certain regions were struck with some form of outage of a mobile service that they've come to expect for a certain duration, I'm going to ask my fine co-host, the Breaker of Banksters, what he projects would be the You know, the most likely and most dangerous outcome in particular cities. And there's not much more to it. We're kind of just inventing this tonight as we go along. So we're going to throw this together. Some of them might not make sense, but here we go.
All right.
New York, Facebook disabled, out for 24 hours. What kind of socio security riot related, you know, social instability outcomes could you expect with New York losing Facebook for 24 hours?
I think just an isolated situation, no other context, it would not cause much of an issue.
Not much. No. All right. Let's kind of go on the other end of the spectrum. Los Angeles, 30 days, no mobile phones.
No mobile phone. Can you define that a little better?
Nothing. They're all bricks. They don't do anything.
All mobile phones are bricks.
Nothing.
Do you have access to the internet at home?
Dead devices. No one has.
What about home on your PC?
Some of that. Intermittent.
Okay, but still, like, a lot of people don't have PCs these days.
Kind of like getting internet in Baghdad in 2005, maybe.
Okay, I know what you mean. Okay.
Like, not much information, but all your handheld devices, 30 days, you don't get to touch them. There's nothing.
Especially in the summer, could lead to a lot more just overall people being disgruntled, not knowing what to do. Like, where do I get groceries? Where do I get grandma's medicine? Like, literally, that'll be an issue for people. I feel like if there was already...
Which is that? Most likely or most dangerous scenario or outcome?
Most likely.
What's most dangerous?
Most dangerous. Okay, great. And I was kind of going to segue or add into this. If there already was some rioting or some commotion going on and then it went dead, I feel like that's the most dangerous because they would be like, they shut it down.
Yeah.
They shut it down.
Major rioting.
And it was 30 days is a long time.
Historically bad rioting. Could result.
Yeah.
And you could do that by, you know, controlling the phones.
Right. So if there is some context to it, I can see it adding fuel to the fire, maybe.
All right, let's do Chicago for a week. No Amazon. Not just Chicago, a Chicago neighborhood. You know, wealthy neighborhoods of Chicago. No Amazon access for a week.
I still feel...
Most likely. Most probable.
Most probable is a bunch of housewives are going to be pissy. They're going to have to go to Target. Target's going to make massive business. That's the most likely.
Their husbands are going to be pissy, too, because they're going to have to like go get stuff.
Yeah.
All right. And then most dangerous for Chicago, if that were to happen?
There will be more people out, so more opportunities to get carjacked, I guess.
I was thinking of job loss, probably.
Okay. Like, I think still 1 week is not. A lot of people are addicted, but I still feel like most people could go a week without, like, totally losing their stuff, hopefully.
All right. Philadelphia.
Okay.
For 2 weeks with certain news sources just straight out banned. Not able to, like, InfoWars, Pitching Power Hour, Prepper Broadcasting Network, or any alternative media that you may want to associate or lump us all together or not. But anybody's not corporate. Philadelphia, 2 weeks, can't see, access, touch it. Most likely outcome.
Most likely outcome is not much of a change, anything.
Nothing changes.
I don't think so.
Most dangerous.
I think people outside of Philly or even a few people in Philly will think it's odd or like it will make, you know.
Most dangerous outcome of that. Philadelphia, 2 weeks, no alternative media. They make fun of it, is what I'm thinking. They go and have rallies outside cheering it on. That'd be dangerous.
I was saying, like, there could be certain events that weren't covered properly, so there could be false flags could be easier.
Huh, yeah.
Just
in Philly?
But
okay, yeah, that's another way to look at it. All right, let's see. Dallas, let's say for 3 days, and just all the weather data is just blocked or wrong. Just showing up wrong to all the residents of Dallas for 3 days. Summertime.
Yeah, especially I think this time of the year, tornado. So, I mean, I think that would, most probable. as people would be a little pissy and a little more distrust.
Forget about what the weather does or doesn't do. But by 3 days, everybody noticed, why is the weather reports in Dallas always wrong?
Only in Dallas, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's possible. I was thinking more how it could affect them in case of tornadoes are coming or major thunderstorms. But otherwise, I think it's just a few days. They would be pissed, but only if they were directly affected by no internet. So like, people in Houston wouldn't care.
But major thunderstorms roll through and nobody knew they were coming because everybody's mobile apps were just...
That'll scare people.
Telling them, it should have been 70 and clear this afternoon, right. But that didn't happen. And my phone's not... And
tornadoes came through and killed a couple dozen people.
That'd be most dangerous outcome probably be...
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think still, like, the great majority of people outside Dallas wouldn't care at all.
Most dangerous course is that the Texas government, and the Texas governor... take notice of the fact that the information was manipulated and no one takes them seriously, right? It just as a state governor, just ignored by the federal government, like it never even happened. That'd be dangerous.
For precedent and stuff, for sure. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Information operations. This is all possible with phones.
Well, that's a big part of it is the just distrust or like a beta testing for a bigger outage in the future, too.
All right. Let's talk about Indianapolis.
Good old Indiana.
For... 2 months.
2 months.
With just on, off, partially working, unreliable network coverage, data, texts, even calls. Just on, off, not good, not ever really fully off. And none of the major telecoms that you're a subscriber to have any help for you. And no one's really telling you why. 2 months. How would the people in Indianapolis react to that?
I think that would potentially lead to more crime because it's harder to
communicate. Murder rate would go up anywhere there's outages, I think.
Yeah, more in community. And people might be, I feel like this is kind of an odd hypothesis, but I believe there's some evidence to this. I'm not going to write a paper about it and find all the evidence. However, the murder rate, except for just the last couple of years, violent crime has gone down in the last few decades. I think almost all of that is because people are inside on the internet playing video games and stuff. So if that goes away, I think we'll automatically people will be out causing a lot more problems when they're not playing Call of Duty 8 hours a day.
It's the surveillance cameras. Everybody's pretty much aware it. You can't walk in public space without
this may high not work risk with,
of being caught.
There's no surveillance camera cellular footage in this scenario.
Well, no one can film each other, but it doesn't mean that all the cameras mounted everywhere.
There's a lot of hardwired that are not. You're right. But.
The ones you have to worry about, right?
Well, those are bank or something. Yeah,
those are all tied to DVRs.
But a lot of like residential or even commercial at your local strip mall and stuff are Wi-Fi enabled or cellular. But I know what you mean.
No, I'm just talking about your phones. Just for whatever reason, your phones. There was some kind of information operation. Mm-hmm. Let's just assume on all these scenarios. There is someone making it that way.
Yeah.
Some actor, some combination of actors is locking you out of services or, it's not like a technical problem that the authorities can't stop from happening. I'm talking information operations. I got one more for you.
Okay.
Seattle, no SMS for the month of July. Most likely outcome of that, I got to believe, would be less violence. Now, they'd find other ways. You'd have to just shut the phones off. It's not just SMS. Any messaging. Any kind of messaging off of phones.
Yeah, exactly. That's why if you're like, they shut just Facebook, not as big a deal. But they shut Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat TikTok. Then it's a little different.
Then what? Probably less violence. But the most dangerous course of actually...
They can't communicate, yeah.
That they would... That the Antifa crowd would use that and find another means of communication, like, I don't know, walkie-talkies, whatever. It's not hard to go outside of phones if you want.
Yeah.
And then rage against it even further, even burn more federal buildings down and stuff.
So right? Where did you come up with this, so to speak? What is this?
I just thought of it.
Okay, I think it is an interesting thought experiment. Just I didn't know passing the time. I didn't know if you had a grand... Thing you're going to tie together because we are almost done with the show, but this is very interesting.
I didn't know how it was going to come out. I just had this idea of what if phones were disabled or manipulated or controlled against populations in certain regions deliberately to, you know, experiment on, does that increase the murder rate there? Does that, you know, affect the economy there? Does that send more people outside to get healthy and not, you know, that, you know, the death rate perhaps is lowered by people having less access to devices that, you know, make them sedentary? I don't know. You know, picking some cities, picking some times, and kind of throwing around some shutdowns. I think what we learned is, you know, it could go either way. Sometimes there's positive effects.
That's definitely true. It could go either way. There could be some silver linings.
But L.A. with nothing for 30 days, that I'm pretty sure the place would burn.
You can't just go back to the way it used to be like that. You're right.
Too many people.
You got to think about it. Really, the people that would be out burning are 50 years and younger, and really like 30 years and not younger, and really like 20 years and younger. And anyone who's 20 and under or 30 and under really doesn't know a life without cell phones.
The psychological dependence and withdrawal would push a lot of people past anything close to, safe behavior and an adversary, whether that's foreign or domestic. Who did that to a region?
Sure. Oh yeah,
could cause a lot of havoc.
Definitely. Oh yeah, that's a massive psych operation for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and this is kind of what I wanted to get to, and this is the very end of the show, so we're about to get out of here, folks. Make way for the next generation. But I was thinking about a countrywide or even worldwide internet outage, just in general, no internet, including no phones, for 1 month. Now that's very realistic and be worse than almost all the scenarios you just talked about. So. That's kind of the next stage.
It's unfathomable.
I know, but it's so possible, it seems like. But I don't know. But maybe more regional. Maybe like half the U.S. or a few states at a time. I don't know. People say the internet can't go down. They said the Titanic
can in small countries.
Yeah, and that's assuming the governments aren't trying to actively destroy and shut it down.
Internet kill switch.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, we do got to make way. Had another great show. We will be back. Next May 11th for this May 4th, 2021 episode. Future Dan, May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you, Ben. That makes my week right there.